liver, liver, liver.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, here with our favorite gardeners and worms, Lance Lulu. Good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Great to be here tonight as the season heats up and cools down.
Cools down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we love the weather. Absolutely.
Springtime in the Rockies. That's what you get.
I know. It's fabulous. So great to be living here in Western Colorado. And Jeff's in the control room ready to take your calls. We're coming to you live, 527-486-8166, KVNF Now. We also get questions from our loyal listeners at worm@kvnf.org. And we've got Rita from the North Fork asking about the weather. This came in at 4:40 this afternoon.
Woo-hoo.
Yep, she was thinking. What do I do to save my thread-like carrot seedlings and tiny beet sprouts from the freeze the next few nights? Or will they be okay at maybe 28, 25 degrees?
Well, I think they'll be just fine at 28. 25 might start thinning a little bit, but I doubt it.
Yeah, and if you, I mean, we don't, how much, you know, how much is there and so forth. But you could even just throw a little light straw over it or something.
Yeah.
If you had something like that.
There you go.
Yeah, and I have years of accumulation of sheets.
Yeah. Sheets, bedding sheets.
You want something light because those are
super light.
Right.
Yeah, because they're just tiny.
If you put something heavy
like
on them, you're actually going to break them off.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So a sheet would be good. Hay would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean like just dusted on there, barely. You
right.
Know, just a little something.
A little bit of warmth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about kelp that you
usually
spray?
That's my standard thing, and I did it this morning.
Oh, you did? So you're ready to go?
Yeah.
I don't have anything up, so I don't have anything to worry about. Everything that's green in my yard has been there since day one, since the crack of spring. So.
Yeah, so your little delay planting, and you were waiting for your ditch water to come on, right, Lulu?
Yes. Oh, yeah. What a nightmare, but finally.
Yeah, so
finally
you're ready to go.
Finally broke through the clog. Yes.
The giant ditch clog.
Yeah. Oh, it happens.
Man.
It does happen, for sure. Absolutely.
So that was good news.
Yep. Water's coming on, so you're going to be a busy woman.
All right.
Tell us what you're doing out there. 527-486-8166 KVNF Now. And water's the thing of the day. Both of you are wet and dirty.
Thank you.
Yeah. I got wet so many times today. I have my little down jacket on. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cold.
And a little bit of a chill.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But that's all right.
Yeah. Oh, I want to ask about the freezing thing. Is it good to water or not water before the freeze? Or do you...
I don't
even
think it matters.
It doesn't matter.
I know
you don't
want it real dry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Moist is good.
Moist is good. You don't want to water your, have it be, your plants be wet either. Although, I don't know, maybe.
Some people that used to flood their fields. As the water's freezing, it lets off heat.
Yeah.
Mm. Right.
But I don't like having water.
No, I don't
sitting
either.
Sitting on my... plants and then cold, and then they're just encrusted with a lot of ice.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
And then there's weight, and then they're crushed.
Right, and they tip over and break, and things happen. So,
yeah, but everything that's in my garden is all cool weather.
Right, you haven't planted your worm stuff.
No,
yet.
No.
Mm-hmm. And what are you doing to be in preparation for that?
Well, everything is
ready to go.
Everything's been marked and ready, and I'm actually watering the rows where the corn and beans and cucumbers and squash are going. And when it's time to plant in the next, it's going to be about 10 days that I'm going to plant them. And I'll plant them right down in the moisture.
Okay. So the bed will be ready to just accept that seedling?
Yeah, I've done that, especially when I suspect that the soil is cold-ish. You get it wet and the water is so cold that if you get it wet, any possibility of the water warming up will happen and the soil warming up. In other words, your soil is already a little bit chilled because it's that time of year.
Yeah.
Right.
And then you go and put this freezing cold water on it and you drop the soil temperature even more.
So if you do it prior to it and then you... It warms up, you know, with this naturally with the soil, and then it'll be warmer than just planting.
Than just going at it.
Planting and then running cold water on it.
Right, exactly.
And these corn and squash and beans and stuff, if you plant it down the moisture, you can leave them there for a week without watering.
Oh, nice.
They'll come up. They'll start swelling. If there's not quite enough, you'll know.
Mm-hmm.
You can, you know.
Just kind of watch it.
Yeah.
And
put your finger down there. It's a great tester.
Right. The little, what, 1 inch, one and a half inches?
2 inches. Yeah.
Yep.
2 inches. See where that moisture is.
See where the moisture is. I mean, that's so key, too. Through the whole summer.
Yeah.
You just, you know, you can't.
Check your moisture.
Check your moisture.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got one of those moisture meters, that's great.
Great.
You know, but if not, just stick your little paw in there and fiddle around.
You can take
around.
An old screwdriver.
Old screwdriver.
Weed digger. Mm-hmm. A small shovel, something.
Just figure it out. Figure out where your water is. Because that's so important. Too much is no good.
And,
you know, obviously too little is no good. And when you're sprouting at this time of year, you've got to keep that moisture level down to where, just on the surface.
Right on the surface.
Where your, you know, where your seeds are.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Super important.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get your garden going.
Yeah,
where those small seeds. Yeah.
Those teeny seeds. Yeah.
Yeah. Exciting. 527-486-8186 KVNF. Now, you know, we had a listener last year bring in some fabulous New Jersey devil tomatoes.
Uh-huh.
And you saved the seed.
I saved the seed from them.
And how are you doing?
The other day I direct seeded them.
Nice.
Now, even though it's going to be possibly cold the next 2 nights, is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a couple of
it's
nights.
It's not tonight. Yeah. It's the next night.
It doesn't matter. They're in the ground. They're fine.
Yeah, they haven't germinated.
Yeah.
They're just down there, and it will take 2 weeks or so, so they'll be past.
They'll be fine, yeah. And Jeff has just said the freeze watch remains in effect from late Wednesday night through Thursday morning for Grand Junction Fruit at Palisade, Montrose, Hotchkiss, Delta, Gateway, Nucla. So pretty big thing of cold weather coming in.
Yeesh.
Yeah.
There you have it. Ay, ay, ay.
So what are you getting ready to plant, Miss Lulu?
Everything.
Everything, yeah.
Everything except the squash and beans.
And you're holding off a couple weeks on that?
Yeah.
Because you got a lot to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I got a lot still going on. But, you know, once it's small. My garden is small. So once it gets going, it rolls pretty good.
Right.
And here's a really interesting thing. I went and checked out some of my favorite seed catalogs for starts, you know, for, you know, various herbs or whatever, and especially the San Marzano tomato and the Sungolds that I just love. But I'm probably going to be able to get them here anyway. They were all sold out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's great news.
You know, it really is good news because it means a lot of people are planting
absolutely
food.
Planting gardens.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
I love
you know,
hearing
sink
that.
Or swim, who cares? At least they're giving it a shot, you know? I think it's great. I think it's phenomenal.
I'm glad to hear that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And these are catalogs that you're actually getting plants shipped to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, one of the companies does such a fabulous job of the way they pack their plants and ship them. That it's just phenomenal, but it they're sold out. I went online this morning, and it's like, what? Dang. You know?
I know. It's kind of crazy. I was looking back at our notes from last year, and it seems like the season's a little bit off from where we were last year.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Yeah.
But that's a given. You know, that...
Right.
I mean, you
always
know...
going to be
climate
something.
Change and all of that is... what it is, and in the meantime, every year your garden's different.
Yeah,
every year.
Absolutely.
You know, there's little variations on the theme, and that's why it goes back to the main number one rule: adapt or die.
Yeah, and you know, and some years the cold air stays low. Sometimes it stays high, and sometimes it's the whole thing. You know, it just It's one of those things. You just
only
don't...
thing constant is change.
that's true. Well,
true that. 527-486-8186 KVNF now.
What are you guys doing out there? Right. You must have some questions about something.
Everything's sold out at the seed catalog.
Right. I mean, this is your big chance. Stump the chumps. You know, we love that.
Yeah, we do like that. I love it. So volunteer stuff's coming up all over the place. What do you have volunteering this year?
This year, the big volunteer surprise is a lot of lettuce.
Yeah.
There's one spot that for whatever reasons, I have red deer time. That comes up every year. Started coming up there 10 years ago, and so I've just left a few go to seed every year. So there's that. And then I have red salable coming up. I have red romaine coming up. I have black-seeded Simpson.
Wow.
Now, black-seeded Simpson, there was one volunteer plant last year. I just let it go to seed there. And that's got – so that's – you know, I knew it
you
was going to
happen. You knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, but not this, all this other stuff.
The year of the volunteer lettuce.
Yeah, and I have nasturtiums coming up all over the place. They got in the compost. And
they survived in the compost.
They survived
the compost.
You have it. And then, of course, this is common. A lot of dill and cilantro.
Okay. Yeah. And dill, can you plant – what kind of companion planting or non-companion planting? I kind of remember talking about dill before.
Well, dill you don't plant with carrots.
Okay.
They'll stunt carrots. Okay, but dill is really good with the cabbage family, and that's to repel the cabbage lure moth.
Okay.
Don't be killing off your wasps either, because they'll get your moths.
Yeah.
They're really good at it.
Have you seen wasps?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good. Yeah. Haven't seen too much in my yard.
They're all happy. They're in one of the cupboards in my backyard, and I have to remember to open the door carefully.
Slowly.
Yeah.
So I don't scare them. But they're so happy because it's nice and warm in there and they're all
That's
happy.
That's like in the roof of my outhouse.
Yeah.
Pretty nice place. Warm and happy.
Yes.
Hey, Charisse is calling from Horsefly Mesa. Hi, Charisse.
It's Charisse.
Charisse. Well, excuse me. They usually give me phonetics on the thing, but not tonight. How are you tonight?
Yeah. I'm doing good. Yourself?
Doing well.
Good.
What's going on?
I have a question about asparagus. We have some seed, but that seems kind of silly with these tuberous, rooty vegetable plants. Is it done? Do people plant asparagus seed, or is it mostly a transplant kind of thing?
Well, if you go by the transplant, the root crowns, you're only going to get what they have. If you go by the seed, you get what you want, because there's many different varieties, and you can also collect seed or crowns from the wild ones if you have them there, that produce the best.
And it's
collect seed from the crowns of delectable varieties growing
wild. Yeah.
And just by taking the do you have to wait for it to go to seed? Or are you saying take the crown and plant it?
You can do both.
You could do either, yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
And seeding, are they delicate to see? Are they difficult to get to sprout?
Oh, no. I have them volunteering in my garden. They're a weed now.
Yeah, it's just a matter of time. You just have to wait a little longer on the seeds.
Yeah. Yeah, they're...
For them to be robust.
Yeah. You want to start getting shoots, and then you want to... You never, like... The first year you start getting shoots, you don't harvest your shoots.
So it's going to take 2 to 3 years from seed.
Yeah.
Minimum, more like 3 years.
Probably three.
I have volunteers asparagus in the grapevines for some reason, so I will dig those out because the grapevines don't like that much water, and the asparagus wants water and nitrogen. Mm-hmm. So I will move them.
Right. And the grapes don't care about nitrogen either.
No, they don't need nitrogen.
My grapes are off the charts.
Asparagus-related question, and that is, we're up on Horsefly Mesa, and we've got some kind of marshy bits where the snow melt runs off, and we've got some downright kind of riparian rushing river for after snow melt. But high meadow, it's aspen trees, and obviously there's a lot of desirable garden ground that really isn't moist. And I'm just wondering, like, is this kind of a tending the wild guerrilla garden your riverbeds, or do you do this or recommend doing this in your garden?
Interesting question. Yeah.
Both.
Yeah, try it out.
Try both.
The wild asparagus here is in all the ditch banks. irrigation, all the irrigation canals and stuff. That's where it grows.
What's your altitude up there, Charles?
About 8,000.
Wow. That's pretty high.
The only thing that might happen if it gets too close to a creek or a marsh that they would rot, the crowns would rot.
Yeah.
And that would be the only thing.
What about indicator species that, you know, like around the ditches, like a plant that I might keep an eye out for to determine good condition?
I don't know that one.
No, I don't either. I would just grass. I mean, that's where they grow, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I hardly ever, don't ever remember seeing them growing amongst any wildflowers.
No.
So I would say just grass.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Excellent. Marshy, but not rot duet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you guys.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Yeah,
up there.
Good luck.
Yeah, horsefly mesa asparagus. I like that. A little bit wild and a little bit tame.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it a lot.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
And Mandy is on the line from Uray with a question. Hi, Mandy.
Hi, how are you?
Fabulous.
What's going on?
So my question is, I just was gifted a garden spot in a community garden, and I'm curious if I'm too late to plant seeds or what I should start as starter plants. We're at about 7,800 feet, and it's still quite cold. So I guess I just didn't know where to start.
Well, spinach, lettuce, peas.
You can still go with the cold climate stuff. I mean, that's going to be your best bet anyway.
And if you can still get sea potatoes, you can do sea potatoes.
Arugula, cilantro.
Dill, all that.
Dill, all those kinds of things. And you know what else? You're in a community garden?
Yeah.
Pick the brains of your other gardeners there and see what they've been up to. Yeah, you know, see what they're growing at this time of year and what they're doing. Talk to your neighbor gardeners.
Yeah, what's going to happen there at 7,800 feet? This is great, these high altitude calls.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
But spinach, Lance.
It's a different climate.
Yeah, it is.
Definitely.
Yeah, it is. I used to have a garden on the hillside in Aspen, on Aspen Mountain.
And you were about, 7,800 feet or at least, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah. Seven, closer to, really close to eight.
Yeah.
7,983.
Yeah. But she's pretty safe in getting the spinach, lettuce, peas going.
Yeah.
No problem.
Those are fine and not being empty.
Radishes. I mean, you probably can grow radishes and forever.
This is the good information from those other gardeners is what type of tomatoes will ripen that day.
Yeah.
Because you're just not going to get a beefsteak.
No.
You're going to get something else.
No. Need something special.
Probably a cherry tomato. One of the...
And some of those Russian varieties that are bred for cold weather.
Yeah.
Cooler weather, I should say.
Yeah, cooler.
Yeah.
Whew, baby, that's high.
Jan grows Stupiska? Is that...
Stupiska?
Something like that. Up in Gunnison. So
About 7,800.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the cold spot of the world.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. So.
Yeah, that might be a good one for you. Stupiska, Mandy. Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Mandy,
thanks.
Good luck.
Good
Put your
luck.
Seeds on the ground and let it roll.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And
I appreciate it.
Good.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
And a community garden. How fun is that?
Yeah.
Huh?
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and that's great, too, because you have that resource, other people.
Yeah.
You know?
Right there.
Great. Yeah.
Hey, 527-486-8 1-866 KVNF now. And Thisa from Hotchkiss is on the line. Good evening, Thisa.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a question for the two of you. I wonder if either of you have had any experience with growing milkweed, you know, for the monarch butterflies.
Great question.
Oh, fabulous.
Talking about monarchs just before we came on air.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Asclepiosis?
Well, I've actually harvested the seed for other people, and they've planted it. It seems like you need to have a little bit of water.
Yeah.
It's not a dry land plant.
Okay.
It likes moisture.
Yeah.
So you want that, but...
I had a hard time germinating them. I picked the seeds, you know, from the plants that were around in the forest here, and I planted them, but nothing came up. So
when did you plant?
I bought some.
Did you harvest it last year?
Yes, I did.
And when did you...
In the fall.
When did you plant them?
I planted them in the fall.
Well,
thinking that they would come up in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that was good call. But
yeah, it wasn't cold stratifying.
Yeah.
I just think it's a moisture thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a very dry place.
Yeah, so I think
so
it's a moisture.
So they need a lot of water.
Not a lot of water. Just
not a lot.
The
they
way
just need to be moist. Yeah.
You know, I've seen them in just... Okay. I've seen them volunteer at a friend's house. They're in the grapevines. They're in the flower beds. And we don't let them get out of control, but they do get water. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's
okay.
Just, you know, it's just like any smaller seed. Not that that's a really small seed, but it is small.
Yeah.
And it's going to need daily water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Daily and water. Then, you know, there's a perennial that you can usually get from garden nursery centers, Asclepias tuberosa. I always love that name. And they
just
call it
right off.
Yeah, Asclepias tuberosa. And it's
Asclepias tuberosa.
Yeah, and it's a butterfly bush.
Oh, butterfly bush. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's not buddleia.
No, it's a different it's a native plant.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you want just the milkweed specifically for the monarchs to do their eggs. Ah, yeah, right. Okay, never mind.
Yeah. Hey, have you seen monarchs around Thesa yet?
Not yet, but I have. Actually, I saw, I think, and I'm not sure if it was a monarch. It was big and orange, and I'm not sure, but I saw one butterfly.
Yeah, I saw one monarch. I was talking about probably a good 40-plus years ago when I was a child in on the Front Range. It was one of those years where there was a monarch butterfly invasion, and it was just... monarchs everywhere in the sky and on plants. And really fabulous.
Yeah.
It would be great to experience. So good luck with those milkweeds, getting that going.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
Bye.
Bye, Thesa.
Yeah, and, you know, love butterflies. And we were talking, too, about thistles. You've seen some thistle action in your yard, Lance?
Oh, I guess. Yeah, every once in a while I'll see seedlings of thistle come up. And I found one, and I in the raspberry patch, and when I just pulled it out, and these are just seedlings, but I mark it. I put a stake there, a metal stake. When the old leaf spring tooth leaf rakes break, I take them apart and use those as markers.
Okay.
And so I'll go back there every week to see if there's any new shoots.
And you'll just keep it cleaned out to really get rid of it.
Oh yeah. It, usually if you get it as a seedling, then it doesn't come back because they don't have the root system developed yet.
Right.
But you still got to keep an eye on it.
You got to keep an eye on it. You got to be on a mission with
yes.
any kind of thistle. Yeah. Hey, we have a great visitor
Hello.
Here right in the studio.
Hello.
Hi,
well,
Tara.
The show
Welcome.
Started and I went, oh, I'm going to run out in the garden and get my
Here she
sample
goes.
Of the various things that are at Lamb's Quarter. And so
great.
There are two, the bigger leaves there, that's what I mostly eat. And then there's this little sort of serrated leaf one. There are a couple of those. And so they seem to be quite a different plant. And then there are these little tiny ones with that bit of red on them. I just don't know if those bit of red ones are the ones that I should not be eating. You were mentioning last time.
Yeah, nix the red. And... nix the red, and the little, this one with the serrated edges. I saw a show when I was back east one time, and they were talking about these pioneer, these guys, and, what are we calling this now?
Lamb's
Quarter, of course. And it's, right, and this this they are both chenopodiums, they are both edible, and they had both of them in this pioneer garden. And one is chenopodium shumanimanimani, and the other one is chenopodium shuminimini. And but it was so interesting to me because I had never seen it before, and here it is, right here in front of me.
Yeah,
right in my garden all the time. The little serrated leaf ones tend to go to flower and seed faster than the other ones, and often more branchy.
My favorite is this one, the bigger leaf.
The bigger
one.
Leaf, yeah, me too.
And we were talking about self-seeding.
Uh-huh.
I had one plant in one corner of my garden last year, and this Chenopodium, our little lamb's quarter, is my bumper crop.
Really?
Yeah.
Fabulous.
And my leaves are
oh yeah,
that
ones.
Big.
Huge.
Yeah. They're huge, and they're tender, and they're so delicious. My goodness, I've been eating them.
That was in my breakfast this morning.
Yeah, it was.
Yes.
Yeah, it's been in my breakfast too, but the frozen ones from last year. I'm trying to get rid of last year's so I can freeze this year's. And I've been eating these in salad. But yeah, I love this. Yeah, because it's really different. It's got
that serrated itch and the smaller leaf.
Yeah, smaller leaf. I'm gonna look this up again and figure this out again because it was so fascinating to me. And there is a very good reason why they're different like this, and I'll find out.
So, but for sure, these very small ones, these seedlings that I brought in that have that red, I should not eat those.
They don't taste.
Yeah,
very good.
Typically, okay. Yeah, they're not as good tasting, and they'll get a lot bigger than this. Yeah, when you let
but
them
they're
go,
not really toxic. Then, I mean, I
no,
know
they're
I've
not.
Eaten them.
You know what? Yeah, they're not. Yeah, it's not going to kill
not
you.
Quite so good.
No.
Well. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tara.
Thank you, Tara,
for dropping in.
Yeah,
love that we're just grazing on lamb's quarter out of the yard. I mean, it's fabulous.
Right? And that it's I swear, the bumper crop. So I had mm-hmm. one plant, and it completely planted. I have these freestanding pots, big, giant, round pots. And it's completely seeded itself in both pots. And then there's this stand out there that's just
happy.
Magnificent.
Yeah.
It's absolutely magnificent. And it did not have a drop of water until yesterday.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And when it gets big and full like that, it waves in the wind.
It's so beautiful.
Gorgeous.
So beautiful.
Absolutely.
And I'm watching it very closely because right now it's absolutely perfect. And at some point, it's going to do one or two things. It's either going to get some kind of little buggy on it, or it's going to get powdery mildew.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, powdery mildew. Now I've seen that
quite a
bit.
And lamb's quarter has a great tap root, which will break up hardpan.
Yeah.
Oh. It's one of those weeds.
That you just really want it.
Yes. Beneficial weeds.
Yeah, look at these roots. I mean, look at the these are Tara brought in. These guys are like, this is what, 4 inches high.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's you can see the root system on it already. And you can see its little tap root. It's
working it.
Yeah,
down there.
It's working it.
Absolutely.
That's not even, it's 4 inches above in this other one, and it broke off at 4 inches below.
Yeah,
right,
it broke
right.
off at 4 inches below. So that just shows to go,
Yeah.
You know, it's happening. Yeah, they won't, it won't get pulled from my garden. It'll get cut.
Yeah.
And then it'll just get turned in. And the other thing that's so fabulous is, so there it is, taking up space. And that's exactly where I'm going to put I'll put something there, beans.
Uh-huh.
I'll probably put basil in the pots. You know, because I can wait. I got time. Cucumber, I might put cucumber in the pot that it's growing in. And
you'll get to harvest that.
Yeah, I'll harvest this, and then I'll replant with my warm weather, whatever.
Right, nice.
Whatever
just
I think.
Just using it over.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
turning it over.
Yeah, just keep it rolling and doing. Everything gets so happy at this time of year.
I know, so exciting. Well, here we go, rolling into the season.
Yeah, it's coming now. I've got those filthy leaf hoppers.
Get that leaf hopper tape out.
I'm going for it, man. Again.
Again.
Yeah.
All right, leaf hopper report next week because it's already time for us to say goodbye. And thanks to the calls tonight. Good questions, everybody.
Yep.
Yeah, and good answers, worms.
And everybody, just keep planting.
Yeah, keep planting. And love hearing that. Everybody's out in their garden. All right, next week we'll be back 6:30 on Tuesday. It's One Woman's Perspective coming up next. Thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns on KBNF.
Good night, everybody.
Good evening.
Which you can make both slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Low.